CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby, that's Timothy Maurice, and you can find his podcasts on CliffCentral.com. Bulelo, you will be pleased to know, because you're a coffee snob, that my coffee machine, which I had serviced last week, is back, and I can have decent.
Excellent.
I can finally drink the decent stuff. I managed without for a whole week. Lucky, look at how I suffer.
Quality suffer, coffee baby, is suffer. An ecosystem. It's an ecosystem. You must have single origin. Obviously, you want artisanal stuff, but anyway, you can get, you know, baby steps. But machine or the apparatus is as important.
I watched you take delivery of some of your fine, I think it was Kenyan, not so long ago.
Well, yeah, it's a mix. All single origin, of course. I mean, I'm not a master.
So he took delivery of this in the office late last year sometime. I actually took a picture of it and put it on my Instagram because it was so funny. This guy arrives and he goes, hi, I'm looking for, he looks all dodgy, like a drug dealer. Hi, I'm looking for Bulelo. So Bulelo goes, oh, that's me. Guy's got his package. It's all in brown paper, like sticky tape over it. Looked like biltong or like a brick of cocaine. I'm like, what is this? And he goes, no, it's my single origin coffee. He says, He was more excited. And Bulelo's pretty stoic, so he doesn't get excited or very sad. You know, he's kind of on a continuum. Well, he was excited when his coffee arrived. Trust me. He looked like a pedophile on a school bus.
We all need that in life. We all need that moment. We all need that. We all need the white truck.
All right, guys, where do we start? Do you want to start with these aromantics? Because I find this so interesting, and I can't.
Just a quick note on a quick note on coffee. I find the entire coffee culture obnoxious.
Yeah,
I find the machine noises obnoxious.
Those ones go.
So, Leanne, thank you. That is actually a compliment because I don't believe in inclusivity. I am not for including people. So the more stuff I can do to leave people out, the better my life.
Absolutely. You know,
I only want to be with the 1%. Yeah. So
just checking because I thought I'd lost you for a moment there.
No, Bulelo's that's one of the nicest things anyone
said this
week.
Bulelo's the kind of person who, if he could start a club of one and he had a place where he could swipe his card and only he would ever be let in. It would still not be good enough because he'd want everyone else.
He would advertise on Facebook saying, join my group now, but
and
he would
never
disable the joinability.
And never let anyone in, even if they managed to get through it somehow and come for an interview. You'd be like, no, you're not acceptable. I like that. we've lost appreciation for that stuff. We've lost appreciation for, it used to be really hard to have an Olympic gold medal. There was a club of people who'd physically excelled to the degree that the whole world, in a massive spectator event, decided to award them with a substantial piece, even if it was plated in gold, it was a substantial piece of metal that they were awarded in a huge public ceremony. And they were only if you were an Olympian, you belonged to a very exclusive club. Now, Laurel, whatever its name is, who from New Zealand, who's a 40-something-year-old man who wasn't in that club, identifies as a woman, and now he can join that club by beating all the other women by being a man. That's not fair
anymore. Even worse.
That's not, now even it's inclusive. Worse. It's inclusive, but it's shit.
Yeah. Even worse. Why skateboarding in? Like you said, it's supposed to be.
That's not a sport.
Like skateboarding and surfing and golf is in now. Yeah, I mean, it's
a hobby.
They're really diluting.
Those are hobbies.
But
those are not sports.
But to what you said, you know why it's so important to me and these types of things is for me, the reason I do these types of things and I want to get the best I can afford is whatever I eat and drink tells me what I think about myself is what I've always said to people. They say snobby. I go, no, I got standards, pal. Keep walking the other way.
Absolutely.
That's it.
All right. Let's talk about this because Basitsana brought it up. It wasn't even something we wanted to necessarily talk about, but it's fascinating. So there are these people who call themselves, and Basitsana, thank you for your message this morning because that's started us up in a big way. She says, what is the point of aromantics? There is no romantic or sexual attraction at all. How does it work, Gunty? Okay, so as I understand it, that's part of the LGBT. There's an A in there somewhere as well, right at the end, right? Because we always fall off.
Asexual.
So most people can get LGBT right, but then after that, they forget that there's Q, which is for queer. LGBTQI, which is for intersex, which is like there are only about four proper intersex people in the whole world, but they've got their own letter. In fact, they've even got their own flag. There's an X
in there as well, but it's pronounced a Q, which is, and a C, which is.
I thought that was, it's also to help people with their CASA. Right. That's also part
phonetics.
Of
it.
Yeah.
Yes. Kubega, yeah.
But there is an A, and the A is for, yes.
Shall I read it for you?
Go for it. Here we are.
LGBTQ.
Yes.
QIP2SAA.
Oh.
Which is not a failed airline, yeah.
Two A's, SAA at the end. Hmm.
Yes, but not the failed airline. Easy to confuse, so, but both are.
What are the what are the two A's? Yeah. Why are there two A's?
Androgynous and asexual.
Okay.
Right. Okay, asexual. So you know what? I think I know someone in my life who is asexual.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't crossed that bridge where we've spoken about it.
Okay.
But I'm actually quite envious of them.
Yeah.
You know, I posed the question, do you crave, you know, I started with an example of myself and I said, I sometimes just need some validation in my life. You know, I need someone to bear witness to what I'm doing every day.
Your existence.
It's brushing her teeth. Oh, now she's having breakfast. You know, she's doing all these things.
Like someone is watching your Truman Show.
Exactly. Would you not want someone in your life like that? And this person is so independent and not worried about any of that. And they don't have all the drama that goes on with relationships.
I mean, for starters, I completely agree with you. And I hope I didn't sound more bigoted than some people would already label me by saying it's weird. But it is. Like, most men, and I'm a man, so I don't know any different, spend a huge amount of our time just trying to get laid. Huge amount of our time. Like,
that's very true.
I would say
I can confirm.
When you're in super productive mode, you will always find time to try and get laid. And men, the whole point of us doing well and being successful and being productive is not really so that we can feel a sense of, you know, self achievement or of worth or any of that stuff. It's really so that someone will sleep with us.
Arthur Schopenhauer, people can look this up. A guy called Arthur Schopenhauer, a really weird guy. He called it the will to life. There's actually some superb writing on it. If you want to go and look it up, the will to life.
Yeah.
He said, our drive to actually everything is driven by let's reproduce, but the human ego masks it as love or romance in order to trick us into.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, nature is, our DNA runs us. It's not the other way around. And our DNA just wants to make more of itself. So that's understandable. I'm not questioning the way that we think. It's just that's the fact. Is like, and women too. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of women who are just, they're craving dick all day long. I mean, there are.
Wow, chicka bow wow.
There are women who are just thinking about that. So, I mean, like Monica, for example, who says here, Monica says, I'm literally the opposite of asexual. Yeah, baby. Good for you. But the fact is, like, there are these extraordinary people. I think they're a tiny, tiny minority. I wish we could put a number on it because I don't think a lot of asexual people even fill in surveys. They don't need another person. They're not attracted to other people. They don't think about sex like we all do. It's just such a strange paradigm. They're almost like superhumans. Maybe they've evolved to a point where their DNA no longer instructs them on a daily basis like it does for so many.
Can you imagine how isolated you do feel in that position? Because the entire universe is constructed upon sexual attraction, romance, partnership, relationships. And to come to that realization and acceptance that you don't need those things in your life must be a life-changing moment.
But you already got it wrong at the question, Leanne, because you said, imagine how isolated. These people don't care. They don't need other people. So yeah, isolation is not an issue to them. They're not that worried.
We should force them to become scientists, because actually we know that all of the other stuff we do in life is to actually just waste time until we die. People should just be in a lab
the
whole time.
Mr. Chinese Communist Party, stop forcing people to do things, all right?
Put them to work.
What if they want to jump on the trampoline all day? That might be what they want to do.
Well, if they can't reproduce, let's get you into the lab. Let's make you productive.
They can reproduce.
Well, if they're not.
They choose.
Well, it's got to be. Yes.
Technically, Bulelo, do you have children?
Not that I know of.
No, Leanne doesn't. Neither do I. We're not asexual. We can still have kids. Yeah. So can they.
But at least I'm open to the concept of being attracted to someone, thus leading to consensual sex, thus leading to, for them, because we brought up probability is the game of life, right?
No, but here's the thing. It's like we don't know enough about this category of people. And I know that there's a new category every day. So it's very hard for us all to keep up with this. But they might not be people who can't. They might be people who choose not to. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, excellent.
Maybe they can even, maybe to them, sex is something they do. Maybe they are even parents. But to them, they had sex in order to make a child, but it was purely mechanical.
That's it.
Do you know how spoiled we are at this time of life? Imagine being asexual or anything that was slightly off the normal calendar or a lower statistic.
Yeah.
In the days when Rian Kreivachen used to present the news.
Sure.
So we're talking no internet, only pen pals, really. Mm. And pen pals would not have a section, there would not be a section in a magazine that put people's addresses out there for purely asexual people.
But,
you know,
but here's
thank
the
goodness
thing.
For now.
It's like it's such a broad category. I agree with you, Leanne. It's like it's great to be alive right now, and it's great that people are able to identify this way. I sometimes feel like I'm a bit asexual, sometimes, because humans don't always impress me. And that's not because I think I'm better. It's just because you look around the world and you read the news and you see some of the stupid stuff going on and you think, ugh, you know, like if I were evolved, if I were a superhuman, I wouldn't get involved in all this human stuff. I would want to learn things. And what Bulelo was saying, I know he was being tongue-in-cheek about this, but put them in labs. Like these are the cleverest people. You know, they're not dissuaded and distracted by all of
distracted.
This. All of this monkey shit of, have to mate. You know what I'm talking about? Like that's the, it's the opposite of like being a perfectly self-actualized creature where you know, the physical stuff melts away. But I can't stay there forever. I can't stay there for long. And I wonder if there's anyone who will admit, anyone who listens to us this morning will admit that they are asexual and what their kind of, because everyone's going to have a different sort of asexuality, what their kind of asexual means. Are you asexual just in terms of you don't have sex, you don't think about sex, or you're asexual because sex is just not very important to you? Or you're asexual because sex is purely mechanical. Or you're asexual because you actually don't have a good relationship with sex or your genitals or other people's genitals. Like what is your kind of asexual? Because I've got so many questions about this way of living. So many. And it's fascinating to me. I think these people in some ways are so superior if they're a true asexual.
Definitely. I'm 100% in agreement with that, because me having a desire for, let's be frank, penis in a vagina or a male companion makes me feel animalistic and raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm.
But this is
you
hard
want to be
to
ravished.
This is hard to figure out, hey. This is really, this is very difficult to figure. You want to be ravished, Leanne? Did you just...
Ravish me, baby. make me suffer.
You remember Blackadder and they're out in the battle and the king gets back and the queen is looking out of the window and she goes, oh, they are returning from the battle. And the servant goes, oh, your majesty, you must be so excited that the king is going to come back and ravish you. And she goes, oh, no. She goes, I can't stand it. All he wants to do is use me like the outside of a sausage roll.
And then
the best part of that is
he thinks the king is dead. She thinks Brian Blessed is dead. And then he comes marching through the door. And because she thought the opposition had won and they were going to come and rape and pillage, obviously. And it turns out to be her husband. And he goes, I guess you want to ravage me now.
Yeah. I thought it was
the enemy. I wouldn't be surprised if there are women in life who've had a change of heart and have become asexual because of the horrible heterosexual sex that they've had to endure.
Maybe they've had a bad experience. Well, I mean, here's a good point from Michelle. Some asexual people might want a companion, she says. And that's true. Like, they might have love. They might be emotional about people. They might have that emotional connection, but there is no physical connection.
Someone to travel with and share experiences with, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I have, now that you mention it that way, I have loads of asexual relationships. I have asexual relationships with my family. I have asexual relationships with
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, with my business partner. I have an asexual relationship with Leanne and Bolelo. So it's not that hard to think about, right? When you put it that way.
But we don't
way,
sleep in the same bed.
Yeah, but when you think about
it. I think Michelle.
When you think about it that way, that's a pretty good. Michelle's just given me an aha moment. It's like, obviously, I've got lots of asexual relationships in my life. There are a lot of people I'm not physically attracted to, but they're my friends. You know?
But we live in an age where you could have this relationship. So, you know, some people want the classic feel because of our conditioning. Maybe we sleep together and you just arouse the mind. And then we got to be polyamorous, right? I got to be able to get because unmet needs will be met. Everybody here has experienced cheating or being on the other side.
Correct. But
so perhaps you.
Correct. But you said unmet needs. Need is the important question here. Some people don't have those needs. They really don't.
But that's what. If you're asexual and we're together, I have sexual needs and maybe you fulfill my spiritual needs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to need to, you know, make some contact with the other genitalia.
So a lot of people have a spiritual relationship with Jesus or with Muhammad or with Buddha or with Jehovah or whoever else it is. They have a spiritual relationship with that. That's an asexual relationship too. I get it. I've got lots of asexual relationships in my life. I do understand it suddenly. God, Michelle, it's like a breakthrough thing that she just said.
Yeah, you do. You know, we all do. Most, let's be honest, 99.9% of our relationships mm-hmm. in life are asexual.
Yeah.
We usually only have 1% partner. But do we even need that?
What's an aromantic? Because I'm not one for general romance, but
I'm going to cast about here with this because I don't really know the answer, but I would assume, because again, in my mind, there are four ways you connect with people, four ways, but the first one is physical, right, which is the asexual people we were just talking about now, or the sexual people we were talking about. Then you get mental or intellectual. That would be like those people who call themselves sapiosexuals, although I don't get that at all because I'm so superficial. Then you get the emotional people or the ones who connect on emotion. So it's like, you know, when you love someone, but you're not necessarily physically attracted to them. This is like family, for example, I would imagine.
So
or like a really good friend. So emotional, that's where you get the aromantics. So those are the people who do not have – I'm an aromantic in that case.
Yeah. So aromantics definition is having no interest or desire for romantic relationships.
Boom.
And the difference between aromantic and asexual, more people are familiar with the term asexual than aromantic. They're similar but not the same. Aromanticism has to do with romantic – attraction, and asexuality has to do with sexual attraction.
My name is Gareth, and I am an aromantic.
Hi, Gareth.
There we go. I've never used that.
Aromantic? Buffalo herbs and spices.
I see you like perfume. I've never used that word ever to describe myself. I don't think I've ever used that word, but it kind of fits. It fits reasonably well.
I think it does. It suits you, sir.
You've known me for a long time. If you reckon it fits, I mean, you probably – I've known you longer than – I've worked with you longer than I've been in any relationship with anyone.
Yeah, we've known each other close to
– and you would know. Like if you thought I was just jumping on a bandwagon here, you would tell me, right?
No, I'm very comfortable with your new description.
Okay.
And – also,
I think you might be as well, Mbulelo.
I still think that you would prefer to have a pull instead of eat.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Right. Definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
So a romantic getaway with a cook or a chef in Italy is out of the question.
Well, I mean, I could do that. I'm not turned off by the idea, and I can appreciate a good meal. And I have been in love. I'm not a monster, as Mbulelo always says. But it's not a priority to me. It's like, you know, some people prioritize watching their favorite TV show. Others prioritize exercise. Others prioritize reading a book.
Or Jesus.
Or whatever, man. I mean, like, you do your thing. But it's further down my list to be in love. I know that it's a tremendous feeling for some people, and it is the energy that gives them life. I get that, so I've felt love.
It can also be the double-edged sword that kills you and stuffs up your entire life.
Sure,
if you are that prone,
sure, but
and vulnerable.
What I'm trying to get to here is because we tried to understand asexual just now, and it made like a lot of sense to me when Michelle said, you've got lots of asexual relationships in your life. So I clicked, oh, okay, obviously. So it's not so weird. We all have that already. A part of us all is a little bit asexual when it comes to, you know, the people we work with, family, etc. So now I'm trying to get my head around aromantic. And like anybody, you have to look to yourself first to try and understand whether or not you've been in that situation. I'm about 80 to 90%, because there's a little room for romance, but it's not big. It's not a huge priority to me. And, you know, this is where Monica says it's sad to hear. But I promise you, I'm not sad. Like, I'm really not a sad, depressed person. I don't even know how depression feels on anything but a circumstantial basis. So don't feel sorry.
I think what Monica means is that it's sad to hear, because maybe Monica is a romantic and she's going because obviously that puts a different lens on life, right? Is that you're only experiencing a part of life. Maybe, Monica, I don't want to speak for her, but I think she's saying that romance brings another dimension.
With respect,
life.
I did say I have been in love. I know how love feels. So it's not something I've missed out on. It's just different priorities. You know, again, like this is when people who are religious say to you, I'll pray for you. It's like...
It may be akin to, you know, someone who's had children and me, perhaps, who doesn't want children, or, you know, I'm now beyond it. You know, you'll never know what
Leanne,
it feels
I mean,
to be a mother.
Own it, Leanne. Barren.
You mean barren.
Barren. Jesus. Who was it that was on the show who got so upset?
It was the Carte Blanche chick who's no longer on Carte Blanche, Devi.
She was on the show with us, and I joke with Leanne all the time. Because
we were in the studio good old days.
I joked with Leanne. I'm like, yeah, but you're barren, you know? And I mean, it's a joke we have. Leanne isn't barren. She just didn't have kids. But you wouldn't know that if you were Devi, right? So she comes into the studio, and she's sitting down, and I joke about Leanne being – she was horrified. She immediately jumped to Leanne's defense.
How do you let him speak to you like that? She says.
Listen, while we're talking, I know we've done the aromantic, asexual thing, but today's one of those days where there's just so much flying around and we still have to talk about the taxis. I just want to show you something quickly. I sent these two pictures to Leanne. You're on the 80s show today, aren't you?
Oh, so I missed the recording because of a client who, an exit interview. What are we laughing at? Oh,
no, you missed the recording. Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. So you missed the, okay, but you're not on the 80s show this week.
It'll probably be next week.
Right, let me show you this. This is so cool. So Sia was going through the files and like reminiscing. He's very nostalgic. And he sent me a couple of pictures from the show. And the first one was this one, which I know we've spoken about her a million times, but it's always one of the funniest stories because she was probably the biggest star at a certain time. Like she was huge. I've spoken about this before, and I'm sorry if it's boring for you, but Jennifer Rush became like a fan.
'Cause I am your lady.
That's the one. And you are my man. Yeah. So she became a fan because we interviewed her and she really enjoyed the interview. It was a good interview. You can still listen to it. It's on cliffcentral.com. And she was a great guest because she lived this incredible life. She still lives in New York and, you know, at a time.
What was she doing in South Africa?
She was touring. She actually did a show. And I think she was even on Idols. So she thought I was this huge celebrity. Because in America, if you have a radio show and you do a reality TV show, you're a big star, you know, like Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, you've made it.
So she must have thought I was like Ryan Seacrest in this country. So she obviously thought, like, I'm going to stay in this guy's good books. She added me on social media and shit and all this stuff. But before any of that happened, when she came to the studio for the interview, she was worried about the paparazzi. Again, she thought, you know, she thought this is America probably. So I don't think she's insane.
Yeah. South Africans like hoarding Jennifer Rush.
Well, people went to her show and they loved her. Anyway, so she leopard crawled under a window and into the studio because she was worried that people would get a picture of her. And she, you know, she wasn't there for pictures. She was there.
Was this at Cliff Central Studio?
At Cliff Central Studio. Here's a picture of me with her. Here, look at this. So I'm not making it up. So, you know, there's Jennifer Rush. There's me, right? This is what,
the
three,
window
4 years
in the,
ago?
In the studio.
No, it's not even the studio window. You know that window in the passage between the office and the stairs?
Oh, my Lord.
She was leopard crawling.
Unbelievable.
So Sia sent that to me. And then he sent me this picture of these really, really strong-looking women, these girls who are like bodybuilders. Look at this. And look how pathetic. I am the.
I
look like a little weedy teenager in this picture.
You know, those girls are monstrous. Those new little caterpillars that have been born.
Yeah.
And they walk like this. They go, wee.
Yes. Yes. That's what I look like.
Like that.
No. Well, I mean, I just thought I'd throw those in there in case you needed some visual stimulation this morning because Sia's been clearing out his files and reminiscing a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what a life.
So back to some other things. The taxis. Let's just talk about them for a second. I'll read you the news story and you tell me what you make of this. It's unbelievable, all right? Unbelievable. Only in South Africa. The National Taxi Association, NTA, says it will disobey South Africa's new administrative adjudication of road traffic offences, ARTO, as well as the introduction of the country's new demerit system. They will just obey. They'll disobey it. They've decided. The ARTO, that act, will penalise drivers and fleet operators who are guilty of traffic offences or infringements by imposing demerit points that could lead to the suspension or cancellation of licences, professional driving permits, or operator cards. So the National Taxi Association has decided... Just like they did with lockdown.
We're about this.
Do you remember lockdown when we were all following those very serious rules at level 5 last year? And the only people who said, and credit to them, were the taxi association. And let me tell you.
Yeah.
This is
proof. The taxi's only 1.6 meters long. Imagine social distancing in there.
It's impossible, right? And they weren't prepared to stop doing business just because government made a rule. Even if people died, they're like, fuck you, we got business to do. If they cared about people dying, they'd roadworthy their taxis. We already know they don't care about people dying. So there is something to be learned from this, and that is civil disobedience. South Africans, fellow South Africans, listen to the story of the taxi association. You can get cross about this. You can do what the default reaction is going to be, and you'll see a lot of people going, "Oh my God, I can't believe these taxis. They live by their own rules." But aren't you envious? Aren't you a little bit jealous that they can live by their own rules, that they're truly free?
I was just thinking that.
Not even Fikile Mbalula and all of the people he's been paying millions to as consultants, we've just found out this week. None of them can tell the taxi bosses what to do. You should be
I feel a little bit insipid. You know, well, you can't go to the shops now. Okay, I'll order online.
Yeah, I'll just stay.
Oh, you can't go to work anymore. Okay, I'll work in front of my computer at home. Mm. Taxis are like, no way.
Yeah, fuck you. That's what
they say. We will drive.
No, fuck you. And they will. They don't care. And you know what? I know that we have such a love-hate relationship in South Africa with taxis. A lot of people hate, but I love hate because they are the only people who will let you in if you need to cross lanes.
You know what? They'll also protect you in the case of robbery or horrible crimes like that.
I mean, we're generalizing. There are really evil people in the taxi industry too. So, and they really do kill many, many people who are just trying to get from work to home or home to work or work to work. So let's not give them a full bill of health here. The fact is, we should all be more like the taxi operators. We should all say,
well,
no, this is a dumb rule. This is a dumb system. We're not going to comply.
Yeah.
Bulela, what do you think?
I'm a bit split because everything is suffering. I really like rules in my personal life because when you don't have rules, people sit on their couch and eat Doritos all day and drain the health system, right? I don't like people being left to their own devices en masse because people are terrible at doing the right thing. Terrible. You just need to walk around a shopping mall to see what happens when you leave people to their own devices. So I'm torn because our government doesn't follow rules and now these guys don't. So for me, if you're asking just me, I hate both sides. The ANC can't follow rules and I hate the fact that the taxis aren't following rules because I think rules are necessary for people no matter what you say. I don't know what the perfect balance is. I hate lawlessness. I absolutely resent people who just live willy-nilly. So I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I hate
chaos. So an ANC taxi would really get
well, that's my nightmare on earth.
Well,
that's,
I mean, a lot of the taxi buses are actually ANC cadres. I mean, a lot of them are.
I was going to say.
Yeah, very powerful people in the ANC, especially in places like KwaZulu-Natal. In fact, the taxi operators are almost like political operatives in some ways. They're the main community organizers. They're the ones who have money. They lend people money. Without them, people can't go anywhere or do anything, so they're stuck. They're almost like feudal lords in some way, which is why they feel, and this is what drives me crazy. If a taxi boss feels entitled to disobey the law at will, and they think of themselves as feudal lords, why do you think of yourself as a compliant peasant? Why do you think of yourself, and I'm not saying you do in this case, you may think more like the taxi bosses, which I think is probably healthier in the long run for you, because at least you have individual sovereignty. But you have to look in the mirror and go, am I in charge of my own destiny here, or am I going to comply with stupid rules? And I'm not saying auto is stupid, because I do think we need traffic rules. So I'm with Mbulelo that I'm torn here. I do think we need traffic rules so that we don't crash into each other all the time and so that the roads can be harmonious.
You know what I think?
What?
I think I'm going to be a traffic cop. Get all the cars to go and stop. Keep everybody on the hop because I'm a traffic cop. Always follow the traffic rules. When you are on your way to school, behave yourself. Don't play the fool. Please obey the rules. Because I will always be your friend. If your car breaks down, then I will lend you engines. So please don't offend your traffic cop friend.
Beautiful. Yay. Oh, marvelous. That's very good, Leanne. You could be a great traffic cop.
Oh, I would. I love compliance.
Luzanne says, I'm getting a wristband made with WWTBD. What would a taxi bus do?
Oh my gosh, remember those things in school?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do?
And then they came out with the Lance Armstrong version, those yellow ones.
Yeah, and then he took roids.
Then he took roids. Eleutheria says, it used only to be taxis that jumped stop streets and red traffic signals. Now everyone does it because they don't get penalized. Yes, but it's much worse, Eleutheria, if only certain people get away with it and others don't. I'd rather we were all equal. All equal either in order or all equal in chaos. But inequality of the law is an untenable situation for everyone. Rather have equality in chaos than have inequality in law. That's my opinion. You may disagree. You may prefer order and inequality. That's your business.
Oh, we're in South Africa. It's order.
Order, 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 comrade. Mm, order,
order, order.
Honorable member. The taxi, and Dipiwe pointing out exactly this, that the taxi industry is the real free market in South Africa. Correct. Although they also are in many ways a monopolistic, I mean, they
oligopoly.
Oligopolist. Yeah, because they're actually decentralized. Like, there's not one taxi boss who runs the whole thing. There are a bunch of different ones, but mostly if they, you know, profit is their motive. So if you know what someone's motive is, you can work with them. That's why I liked Jacob Zuma more than I like Cyril Ramaphosa. I know that's a controversial thing to say, and we're not talking politics on a Friday, but I like Jacob Zuma because you knew he was just a greedy bastard. So you can deal with that.
Yes.
If you know what someone's motivation is, you can figure out a plan where they get what they want and you get what you want. You know, who still gets upset when a taxi cuts in? That's a good question, lovely Lady Lee. I used to, but I don't get road rage anymore, mostly because I'm not on the road as much. But also,
yeah, I was going
to
say.
But also, thanks to podcasting and to I genuinely will say podcasting has saved my life in many situations because I don't get cross anymore. I'm too busy. I'm focused on listening to someone saying something interesting. I'm learning something.
It depends on the day, really, as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also that sort of passive aggressive person. So I take it and take it and take it and take it. And then I'm like, wow.
You explode.
Then I explode.
But I'd like to hear what you guys think on this before we wrap up. For me, it's why South Africans always struggle that go to Australia and the UK, because, you know, that is nanny state to the final level.
Where's this?
I mean, I lived in the UK for 2 years, but yeah. I'm saying, you know, South Africans that leave South Africa, and I'm talking the wealthiest of the wealthy, yeah, or just people, sure, like you and me that are ordinary,
sure,
is we struggle because you get there, everything has to be in a form, mm-hmm, written down.
Triplicate.
You got to register. Yeah. You got to, if you want to pay a bricklayer, that must be done in a form. You must, yeah, have registered. You know, we really struggle. And I think a lot of South Africans have come back because of that, you know. Sometimes living in this wild west, we do, when you've got a little extra residual income, mm-hmm, I've said it before, is the best life world. You can kind of create your own, yeah, world away. Absolutely. From the madness, and you get yourself involved in the madness and then go away. Whereas in Australia, it is that mommy's got her thumb on you 24/7.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. You know? Yep. I mean, we're talking, the intercom rings and it's someone who says, your pavement looks a little bit untidy. Yep. Can I sweep it for 15 rand? And you're like, yeah, actually.
Yeah, that'll be, yeah, nice.
You just do it.
In Australia, you get fined. I mean, an auto, I'm sure there is an auto in Australia. That's probably where we got the idea from. And don't worry, George Meany will also be able to answer our questions about some of this stuff in a moment, because this is his wheelhouse, if you'll pardon the pun. Bulelo, I want to, before we go to George, just wrap up with this comment from somebody. It's very interesting. Melissa, I think she has your number, dude. She knows you. She's figured you out. Melissa says, everything for Mbululilielo, when they lose the plot, starts with someone eating Doritos on the couch. Don't extend isolation because they will start eating Doritos and lose the plot. I have a suspicion, Mbulelo, that tells us more about you.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
You're full of songs this morning. I like it.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Leanne may have joined us late, but she's on fire. What a morning. Mbulelo, I have a suspicion that you are actually secretly a fat person who wishes to eat Doritos on the couch. And that if we, what you say, and you have said it a couple of times, you do this. And Melissa's, mm-hmm, that's why I say she's figured you out. She's got your number. She's listened carefully enough to you to be able to pick up on the fact that when you say that about someone who's lost the plot, you're actually referring to the Mbulelo that might exist without rules. In other words,
absolutely,
that secretly you know your true nature is that you would revert to being a Dorito-eating couch surfer if you didn't have any discipline. If you had no discipline.
Absolutely.
This is like those religious people who say to you, well, without the Ten Commandments or without the threat of hell, people wouldn't do the right thing. That's interesting. It tells us more about you than it does about people.
And absolutely, it's terrible that that's a secret and wasn't clear. I think you have to compel people to do the right thing, because ultimately people are predisposed to just gorge, right, and protect themselves in comfort. I absolutely, Melissa, you've nailed it. Absolutely believe that you must compel people to a social standard. Absolutely,
Melissa.
Absolutely.
Melissa's
this idea of free will and people are good and they'll do the right thing. That's absolute nonsense. I've seen no evidence.
Hugely insightful from Melissa. Very insightful stuff. I mean, this is again why we love doing the show and why I come out of the show feeling more energetic than I do going into it, is because we've got such smart people listening who have such insight, not only into human behavior and the way society works, but into us individually too. And listen, this whole conversation that we've just really scratched the surface of around aromantics and asexuals and people who follow rules and people who break rules, I mean, it's been a hell of an hour. It feels like we've been talking for a day about this stuff. It's real, and we haven't even begun.
I mean, it's Saturday, isn't it?
Well, I mean, George has been on hold for like 3 hours, but here he is. George Meany. Sorry, George. We kept you waiting,
that's
George. Fine. How's it going, man?
Yeah, good. And you? How's the 3 hour discussion I've been waiting and listening to?
It's good. It's good shit though, right? I mean, this hasn't been boring. I mean, I found myself really involved in all of this conversation today.
Yeah, I've been sitting here listening. Before I even entered the studio, I was listening before that. And it's very interesting set of topics.
So, George, what do you think, first of all, of the fact that the taxi people aren't going to follow Arto?
Well, I saw you picked up on that, Gareth, because it was one of the things that I was gonna bring up this morning. And that is, they say they won't follow the rules. Now, you were talking about taxis and whether people like them or dislike them.
Yeah.
You know, many years ago, I used to dislike taxis on the road because of their rule breaking and their cutting in front of you. But think about taxis in the following way. There are 16, sometimes 32 people inside that taxi. If every person had a car inside that taxi, you would be gridlocked anyway.
Yeah.
So this the sheer scale of the number of people that they carry around means give them a break, let them into traffic, because you would have 6 cars in front of you if it wasn't for that taxi.
You know how people who run their own businesses, they always say, oh, I should have more votes because I employ X number of people. By the same logic, if a taxi has 16 people in it, they are doing more for the economy than you are in your car with one, right?
True.
And the environment.
So actually, you make a very valid point.
Yeah.
So I think give them a break. It's not the taxi drivers that are in control of that industry.
No,
it's the taxi bosses that are in control of that industry.
Right.
So give the taxi driver a break. He's actually they actually earn very little for what they do.
Are there taxis who operate independently without being affiliated or having a boss?
I'm sure they are, Leanne, but I think they're few and far between, because you have to belong to their associations.
Yeah, there are those people are called. Sorry,
yeah.
Hang on. There are those people. They're called Uber drivers.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah, that's them.
The first story I have is just down your alley, Gareth. Nothing to do with taxis, but maybe to do with air taxis.
Suit you down your alley, sir. Oh, sorry.
Suit you down your alley. A Slovakian company by the name of Klein Vision has done its first inner city flight in a eVTOL, which is a flying car. It's not vertical it's not a vertical takeoff. It needs a runway, but it is called the Air Car, built by the Slovakian company.
Yes, I love air cars. Tell me more.
And it flew from a place called Nitra and landed 35 minutes later in a place in Slovakia called Bratislava.
That's the capital city. Very nice place. Yeah.
All right.
Never been there, Mbolelo. So
Mbolelo's been everywhere. So he'll.
My ex-girlfriend is Slovakian. My ex-girlfriend is Slovakian. That's how I've been to Bratislava. Great place.
All right.
Everyone there, George, is as good looking as you are.
Oh, thanks.
Are there long enough streets to do these landings on in these cars?
I don't know. You know what? I'll be honest. My girlfriend was better looking than me. I was looking at her the whole time. I didn't really look at the. Yeah, she was too good for me at the time.
Okay.
No, so it's still the runway, Leanne. They've had a series of prototypes. He's been working on this thing for 30 years, Gareth. 30 years.
You know what? This is where I'm blown away by human ingenuity. The guy's been at it for 30 years and he gets to test it and it gets like 2 minutes on our show and people go, oh, that's nice. That's a great thing. You know, this is not some idiot tinkering to figure out a new video game, which millions of people will play. He's genuinely advancing human civilization. Good for him.
Good for him, exactly. So he's got about 40 air hours, and he's landed and taken off and landed 142 times with this air car. And,
George,
at the moment it does.
I just want to be a billionaire, not so that I can have a huge bank balance. It's so that I can just give this guy like a couple of hundred million to advance it even further and to get a bunch of other people on his team. And then I can buy the first car that they make and I'll fly that thing around. I don't care if it's dangerous. Bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has a ballistic parachute, Gareth. So, you know, if you're more than 300 feet off the ground, you can pull the ballistic chute and you can go floating down on a parachute. So there's a fail-safe backup.
Magic.
Magic stuff. So I didn't know this, but the Italian airport, Bologna, I don't even know how to say that.
Bologna.
There we go. Oh, like spaghetti bolognese.
Because it comes from there.
Or lasagna.
Yes.
But there we go. They use what's called a chase car or a follow me car on their runways. And that is to guide the aeroplanes from the end of the runway to its parking spot.
Well, can't they see?
I'm assuming that it's a show and it's something that they do for the spectacle. And the reason I say that is because they have just bought a brand new Lamborghini Huracan to escort the aeroplanes off the runway.
Nice. Nice. Isn't Italy
saying that poor Lamborghini's like, please, can I just live my best life and go fast?
But they do. George, don't they also have a police, like a certain division of the police, the traffic police force that have these Ferraris and Lamborghinis and these supercars, right?
Oh. Yes, very much like Dubai. I've never been to Italy, but from the pictures and the stuff I've seen on the internet, it doesn't look like those streets are made for sports cars. It's not like they have an autobahn. Maybe they got some highways around the edges, but
old and decrepit, George. You're not missing anything. Italy is old and breaking down, and they don't pay taxes. It's old and breaking down.
Old stone roads, and So maybe the runway is the best place for that Lamborghini.
Maybe it does. Maybe it has an hour's playtime, like a dog. Every day it can just go up and down the runways.
George, you know, every Friday when we talk to you, you're either in an airplane hangar or you're inside a car or you're driving down the highway or there's always something going on. So Treasure, who's one of our listeners, wants to know, where are you this morning?
Ah, good question. I was wondering when someone was going to ask.
Because I don't recognize any of your surroundings. You're not in your study. Looks like you're almost – are you in a hotel?
I'm in a guest house.
Ah.
I'm in a guest house in none other than Bloemfontein.
How did you get to travel? Wow. How did you write yourself a letter as the CEO of Auto Trader and that says that you're allowed to travel for leisure? Is that what you did? You broke the rules?
No. I actually came down here pre-lockdown to visit my folks.
Okay.
And and during my visit to my folks, our president locked us down. So I have a legitimate reason to go home.
Right.
Are you allowed to leave the Free State ever again?
That's a good question. But I do have an affidavit with me in the car. That
George, don't lie. You're just like the taxi industry. You make your own rules, George. We don't mind. I promise.
He's got the stationery making kit with stamps and everything.
No, but he just—I mean, like he can type up. He can print something on his own laptop that says the, you know, George Meany, an employee of Auto Trader, needs to be in Bloemfontein for business, and he can sign it George Meany, and they won't even question it, right? I mean, I can do that for Cliff Central. You can.
Well, you know what? When I went to the police station to get this affidavit stamped to cross the Gauteng border today, the policeman said to me, "Where did you get this form?"
Yeah.
I said to him, "The government website."
Yeah.
I mean, it's a genuine form. Yes, it's one that you have.
This is the Free State where Ace Magashule paid someone 5 or 6 million rand to do a website because they'd never heard of websites in the Free State before. We are talking about a very backward place, George.
Well, I mean, when you drive here, it is there are vast amounts of open barren land that you have to cross, and I wonder how the internet even crosses those areas.
Tell me, since you're in Bloemfontein, I'm always fascinated by one thing about the Free State that people who've never been there don't realize is how absolutely bone-achingly cold it can get in the middle of winter. The worst.
It is
the worst.
Cold.
Yeah.
It is -2 here in the morning. -2. It feels like -200. It is cold. It is very cold.
And it's a, are you from it's a dry cold. It's not like, you know, Bulelo, you've been in snow and you know what that's like. And if the sun is shining in the snow, it actually feels quite nice. It's temperate and lovely. Mm-hmm. But in Bloemfontein, early in the morning, when there is no moisture in the air at all, and it climbs into you, man. You can feel it in your teeth.
In your bones.
In your bones.
Let me tell you a traumatic story. If you played rugby at a boys' school, and there's a really famous trip that we all do on the train to go and play Grey Bloom, that is the most excruciating thing. And you get there. You get there, and there's little seven-year-olds, as you are freezing in about 10 layers, they are cold-foot, and they are just flattening every other school.
With a kort broek.
Kort broek and no shoes.
And I lost cold-foot.
Well, it's because they grew up, yeah.
That's, George, did you grow up in Bloem?
No, I didn't. I actually grew up for half my life in Cape Town. My parents run the drug rehabilitation center in Noupoort.
Why did you
have to put rehabilitation net behind that? Yeah, otherwise, it would have been so cool.
You've ruined Leanne's morning. She hates rehabilitation centers. But George, I was going to give you a compliment. I was going to say, that's why you're so tough if you'd grown up in Bloemfontein, but you took it away from me. All right, what else do you have for us? What else do you have for us this morning?
Well, I've got one more story, but before I go there, I drove down here with my electric car.
Oh.
Yes. And I must tell you, it was an experience. When I left Joburg pre-lockdown, just putting that out there. When I left Joburg pre-lockdown, I was honestly a little bit nervous because...
Yeah, where do you charge it in Bloem?
Well, you don't. You drive to Kroonstad. That's the first charging point. And then the second charging point is at the Windmill Casino down the road.
Yes.
Where you can charge the car. I charged it there last night, so it's fully charged, ready to go this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next charge point is in Colesberg at that big engine garage. They've got a very cool little place on the side that you can charge the car.
How long does it take you to charge the car?
Well, this is the thing that I found. I found out two things on my trip. The first thing I found out was that the 30 kilowatt charger in Kroonstad, I had to sit there for an hour and 45 minutes.
Hmm.
Which was
at least at the windmill you can play the slot machines while you're waiting.
Not on the lockdown, but yes. The second charger, which here in Bloemfontein, is a 60-kilowatt charger. That's pretty quick. That you sit for an hour or less, depending on what charge the car in, like, you know, what at what state the car is at when you get here. But that's not the important part. The important part is I thought I knew a lot about electric cars. I found out that there's an inverse relationship between an electric car and an internal combustion engine in the following way. With an internal combustion engine, highway driving, it is more fuel efficient. With an electric car, highway driving is less energy efficient.
Really?
Wow. Okay. Yes.
So with the I-Pace that I have, the car generally in an urban cycle does 400 kilometers on a charge. With highway driving doing 120 k's an hour, I got 300 kilometers on a charge.
Interesting. You see, you only know these things if you experience it.
That is because the car has to use more energy to push through the air. When you're driving slowly, you use less energy because you don't have to push the
wind air. Resistance.
Exactly.
Okay.
But it didn't stop. 25%
difference, George. I mean, that's a massive factor.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. So that's quite an important consideration because you think your car can do 400 k's, but when you're doing 120 k's an hour, you can lose 20-25%. And then if you get a strong headwind, that 25% is going to go up.
Sure. All right. Well, you see, this is the first bit of not extremely enthusiastic, positive news you've given us about electric cars. And I'm glad because people were saying, oh, George is such an electric car fan. He's just a fanboy. He doesn't give us, you know, any of this. This is some honesty. All those people who had a problem with George talking about electric cars, like the taxi industry said, he's just told you the truth about, you know, consumption on the highways. There we go. That's why we have you on, George.
Very, very lastly, Gareth, the No South African Zero Drinking and Driving Regulation is only now set to come into effect in 2022.
That's because when we will be able to buy alcohol again.
Yes, correct.
But there have been some delays, and the Department of Transport thought they could get this bill through Parliament quickly and it be in place by 1 July, but it's not looking like it's happening. And they're battling to get the bill through. And there's quite a few organizations and associations pushing against this law or this bill. So it looks like it's only going to come into effect mid-next year.
I can't believe what we're already at 4 minutes past eight. It feels like we just started the show. So it's obviously been a busy morning. I hope that we, you know, managed to get everything in. We've still got loads of stuff that we wanted to talk about. We'll have to save for Monday. George, thank you very much for being on the show this morning.
Yeah.
Most especially thank you for listening to us.
I have to go because I've got to go because I'm just going to drink and drive while I can.
Yes, good idea. Well done, Leanne. And then you'll end up at George's parents' rehab center. That's where you're going to go. All right. Bolelo and Leanne and I will see you Monday morning. And George will be back with the Auto Central show on Monday too. Have an excellent weekend, everybody. Be good and stay safe, stay home, or whatever they say these days. Cheers. We'll see you later.
Cliffcentral.com.